Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for August 7th, 2012. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Christopher Ward, Ramsey Kerala, and Eric Hoffman about new work that sheds light on the cell biological basis of contraction-induced muscle injury in a mouse model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Duchenne muscular dystrophy, or DMD, is an inherited degenerative muscle disease that's caused by mutations in the gene that encodes dystrophin, which is part of the cytoskeleton in muscle cells. DMD affects only boys because the dystrophin gene is located on the X chromosome. Females have two X chromosomes, so female carriers of the mutation don't show symptoms of the disease because they have an unmutated functional copy of the gene. However, males have only a single X chromosome, and therefore only one copy of the dystrophin gene. So if they inherit a mutant allele, they develop the disease. Duchenne muscular dystrophy is a progressive disease that causes muscle weakness, eventually leading to paralysis and death. It's been observed in a mouse model of DMD, as well as in human patients, that there's an increased production of reactive oxygen species, as well as increased calcium influx into the muscle cells. But how these phenomena are connected to the cytoskeleton and to muscle degeneration are not well understood. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, Ward, Kerala, Hoffman, and their colleagues have explored the mechanism by which reactive oxygen species affects the DMD muscle cells. They join me by telephone to talk about this latest research. Welcome, Dr. Ward, Dr. Kerala, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you.
Duchenne muscular dystrophy, or DMD, is caused by mutations in the gene that encodes a protein called dystrophin, which is associated with the cytoskeleton in muscle cells. Beyond that, what was known about the cell biological basis of the symptoms and the progression of DMD before you started this work? Eric?
We've known that Duchenne muscular dystrophy is caused by dystrophin deficiency of muscle, as you've just noted. The problem is why muscles respond differently to it, both within a patient and between species missing the same protein, and why it's progressive, why patients show this relentless loss of certain muscles. So we know there's different compensatory mechanisms that muscle must be adapting, and different muscles are adapting in different ways, trying to compensate for the lack of dystrophin. But we really have very little ideas of what those compensatory mechanisms are. So I think this research helps illuminate one of those likely compensatory mechanisms, and that gives us new avenues on both pathophysiology, again, helps explain why different species and different muscles respond differently, and also opens up new avenues towards therapeutics.
Dystrophin is associated with the cytoskeleton in muscle cells. Is it only expressed in skeletal muscle? And then secondly, is it known what that protein does, how it binds to microtubules, how it regulates the cytoskeleton?
Dystrophin is expressed mostly in muscle, heart, skeletal muscle, and smooth muscle, although some is found in neurons, even some in glia. It seems that its function in skeletal muscle is most critical. That seems to be the tissue that has the most problems when it's deficient. It could be that these other tissues, like smooth muscle and heart muscle, have different, again, compensatory or redundant pathways that are helping rescue them, whereas skeletal muscle is struggling with that more. We know as far as its function that it's stabilizing the plasma membrane. Certainly, without dystrophin, you have unstable plasma membranes. And muscle fibers need stable plasma membranes much more, or very strong plasma membranes compared to other cell types. And that might be one of the reasons it's most sensitive to dystrophin deficiency. We know that it's connected to transmembrane proteins through creating a complex with the extracellular matrix and in the inside of the cell connecting to at least actin and some other proteins. But this research shows another network of intracellular proteins that dystrophin is connecting up with to create that sort of scaffolding within a myofiber.
It's been observed in the mouse models as well as in human patients that Duchenne muscular dystrophy is associated with an increase in reactive oxygen species, or ROS, in the cells, as well as increased calcium influx into the cells. How are those events connected to dystrophin? What was your starting hypothesis in looking at how these events are related to the pathology observed in Duchenne muscular dystrophy?
We had developed a number of our initial hypotheses based on the work of our labs and the work of many other groups.
Chris Ward.
Work by several groups over many years identified that with mechanical stress, dystrophin lacking skeletal muscle responded by increasing the production of reactive oxygen species. We reasoned then that any stretch-induced problem in muscle may be the result of certain alterations in mechanotransduction, or the way cells respond to mechanical stretch. That is, we sought to then identify processes that were altered in dystrophic skeletal muscle that may contribute to the activation of stretch-induced production of reactive oxygen species. And so our initial hypotheses were developed from a 2011 paper that was published in the journal Science. There, we identified that the microtubule cytoskeleton was a critical mechanotransduction element in the heart that activated the enzyme NADPH oxidase 2 to produce ROS following stretch. And that pathway we termed X-ROS signaling as an acronym for this pathway. We then translated this X-ROS hypothesis to skeletal muscle. Our translation of that hypothesis was clear to us because of the work by a number of our colleagues. First, work by the groups of David Allen and Cecilia Hidalgo and many others collectively showed that the NADPH oxidase 2 enzyme present in skeletal muscle is activated by muscle contraction and is responsible for producing ROS in a contraction or stretch-dependent manner. Secondly, as has been mentioned, dystrophin is a cytoskeletal protein. And recent work by Jim Rovasti's group in Minnesota suggested that dystrophin is a microtubule-associated protein, and that in skeletal muscle lacking dystrophin, such as in the MDX model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy, the microtubule cytoskeleton becomes more dense and more disorganized. And so based on these findings, we hypothesized that when compared to healthy muscle, we would see a significant increase in this X-ROS signaling. We would see an increase in stretch-dependent activation of ROS production that was due to an enhanced microtubule cytoskeleton.
And so, Ramsey, in this study, you were looking at how reactive oxygen species are induced in a mouse model of DMD. How does stretching the muscle stimulate ROS production?
To avoid possible confounding factors, we designed new experimental tools and approaches to study single isolated muscle cells from adult animal models to be able to sidestep a number of extraneous variables associated with mechanical injury or stress in a whole muscle or intact animal. With this approach, we focused solely on trying to understand how dystrophic muscle cells are more sensitive to the mechanical stress than wild type. What we basically found is that each small physiological stretch, similar to the one that happens 1,000 times a day in a muscle, results in a near instantaneous burst of ROS. This ROS then modifies channels in close proximity to increase calcium influx into the cell. We confirmed the source of this ROS as NADPH oxidase 2 through inhibition by a potent and specific blocker. We also showed that the stretch-induced ROS was dependent on a dense microtubule cytoskeleton in the MDX, and if we destabilize the microtubule network, we could block this ROS production. So these two elements, the NADPH oxidase 2 ROS production and the cytoskeleton, is a pathway termed X-ROS that our group previously identified back in September 2011 in a paper in Science.
How do those steps, how does muscle stretching leading to ROS production result in muscle damage or muscle degeneration?
A single stretch and the resulting ROS production obviously won't do much damage. However, keeping in mind that ROS and calcium are very important signaling molecules and that muscle undergoes thousands of small stretches each day, the additive action of this little excess ROS and little excess calcium leads to the downstream damage to the cell, mitochondrial degeneration, you know, increase in oxidative stress in the cell. Over time, the muscle will undergo, you know, cycles of degeneration and regeneration that are characteristics of DMD.
So is regeneration following injury also impaired in DMD patients or in DMD mouse models?
Regeneration is impaired. In our study, we focused primarily on these signaling pathways associated with stretch that promoted excess production of reactive oxygen species and excess production of calcium. So we're really focused on the injury side of the equation. But yes, indeed, repair of muscle injury is also altered in both the human and the murine model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
In muscular dystrophy, normal use, stretch of a muscle, induces injury more than it would in a normal muscle. And when a normal muscle is injured, it can regenerate. Is that ability to regenerate impaired in the disease, or is there just so much injury that the repair system, the regeneration system, can't keep up with it?
That's an important question, and it seems that there's a lot of differences between different muscles and different species with regards to that.
Eric Hoffman.
So if you take cats, for example, missing dystrophin, their muscles just keep on growing and get larger and larger and show a lot of success in regeneration. Similarly, the mouse also shows general success in regeneration, whereas dog muscles and human muscles show different responses. The sartorius muscle shows success, but a neighboring vastus lateralis or quadriceps shows terrible destruction and failure in regeneration. So really, again, it's back to these compensatory systems that each of these muscles is trying to compensate in each of these species for dystrophin deficiency and having variable success at doing it.
In this current study where you identified that stretch induces ROS, a reactive oxygen species, which induces calcium, which causes muscle damage, were you able to interfere with those pathways, to interfere with ROS generation or calcium influx to improve the outcome of disease progression in your mouse model?
Basic experiments in vitro, in cells, identified, you know, these critical pathways that we use to bluntly address in an animal model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy, the MDX mouse. And in this model, we targeted two aspects of this pathway, this XROS pathway. We targeted both the dense microtubule cytoskeleton in the MDX mouse, and we also targeted the production of reactive oxygen species by NADPH oxidase. And so we targeted both of those independently with pharmacological agents, with colchicine that disrupts the microtubule cytoskeleton, or apocyanin, which reduces the production of NADPH oxidase-dependent ROS. And what we show in this paper is that with acute treatment of either a microtubule destabilizer or a NADPH oxidase inhibitor, we can prevent some of the contraction-induced muscle damage that we can see experimentally. And so we show that we can rescue some of this susceptibility to damage in the MDX mouse just acutely. And so we don't know yet, and what we're currently working on is if we can chronically address these pathways for benefit. But what we showed in this paper pretty clearly is that we can acutely help the muscle out as far as its susceptibility to muscle injury.
Eric had mentioned that there's a lot of variability between different species and how they're affected by muscular dystrophy. So given what you found in the mouse, that you can alleviate some of the stretch-induced damage to muscles, are there likely to be similar processes in humans that could be targeted by drugs to slow muscle degeneration in DMD patients?
We hypothesized that these pathways that we have identified, the components of this XROS pathway, both the increase in microtubule density as well as the increased expression and activity of the NADPH oxidase enzyme, we hypothesize that those pathways might be, you know, could be operant in humans with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And while we don't provide any direct evidence for that happening in the human, we have provided evidence in this paper for components of this XROS pathway, this microtubule-dependent activation of NADPH oxidase 2 ROS production. We provide evidence for that with transcriptional analysis in patient samples from either normal controls or patients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And what we show there is that when we query the known important proteins in this pathway, when we query their genetic message, their RNA, we do see enrichment in these pathways in the humans with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And so it causes us to hypothesize that potentially these pathways are operant in the human. And in that regard, they might be available as therapeutic targets.
That was Chris Ward, Ramsey Kerala, and Eric Hoffman, authors of a paper published in the August 7th issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by Kerala and colleagues, and it's titled Microtubules Underlie Dysfunction in Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.